Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that, Lord, in this time, Lord, your treasure of your word, you have chosen to put in an earthen vessel. But I declare the excellency of the power is of you. So come, Lord, and have your way. Inscribe it upon our hearts. Help me to be concise. Help me to be precise. As the word goes forth, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be opened. Let deaf ears be unstopped. Let us lift up our heads with faith and encouragement. Lord, for our salvation is indeed nearer than when we first believed in the name of Jesus. So that in this time, Lord, your name will be glorified. We, the sons of men, will be blessed and edified. Precious Holy Spirit, we give you full sway. Go ahead, Lord, lead and help us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That word has been, it's been ringing, we said, but mom was just praying, man, and it just blew it up to a new level. And I'm seeing reset in everything now. That's the influence of covering. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mommy. It's a great privilege and an honor to stand. I stand because they are standing. And they are the ones that have raised us up to stand, you know, under their covering. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, ma'am, for your love, encouragement, example, support, your inspiration, and your words, your messages, your examples. It inspires us to reach for more. Amen. And thank you so much for being there. Without you, I wonder what I would have done. Amen. Thank God for covering. Thank God for parents. Amen. Amen. They've gone with the wind, gone with the cloud. You know, but thank God for parents that held us back. Amen. So tonight, God gave me a word. And it's amazing. The title of the word is, We Are the Change in Our Land. We are the change. We're expecting change, but we are also the change. We are instruments of change by the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. And we are instruments of change both spiritually and physically. We are both the change, both spiritually. So you're going to create a change spiritually. And because the husbandman that labors with the first partaker of the fruits, you also should be a partaker of the change physically. Amen. So it's twofold. So we are highly privileged to be alive in a time when God is unraveling divine secrets to his chosen sons on the earth. Like you know, we must know, we're living in the third day. And in this third day, there's going to be an outpouring. The Bible says, in the third day, I shall be perfected. Jesus speaking of himself and the church prophetically. So the church is being perfected, you know, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. All right. And there are some spiritual fathers that God has been preparing that are going to inherit the spirit without measure, just like Jesus did. And then when they inherit it, everybody else who is going in that same direction under their covering will have a borrowed anointing. So it will be I and the children will be unraveling divine secrets. That's our destiny, you know. And for this to be fulfilled, you know, God's going to fulfill it. Amen. The Bible says the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. The Bible says by the promise and by the oath, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. God gave us a strong consolation. So what we see in the Bible is going to be replicated. The Bible says greater works are going to be done. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth. Hebrews 2:14. Habakkuk 2:14. The glory of the Lord shall, the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the face of the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's going to be fulfilled. But for us to be partakers of it, we must be spiritually alert. Amen. We must be spiritually alert. Because God is going to do this. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. We obviously were his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You're not just created. You were created in Christ Jesus. So your full expression is in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. That is our full expression. So that's the kind of workmanship. It's not just a regular tool. It's a special tool. Create a masterpiece. Thank you, sir. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You know, and we're going to demonstrate those good works in Jesus' name. Now, the same way the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples
were under his covering and did the works that he did. So you and I, according to the scripture, under the covering of mature spiritual fathers who inherit the spirit without measure. They've inherited it, but it's not yet manifest. Who manifest that we are going to do the greater works. Amen. All right? And that is our destiny. Look at Luke 10, verse 17 to 20. Give it to me in the Message Bible. So let's just see it. We're going to read it together. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 10, 17 to 20, Message Bible. Message Bible brings out the message. Right. The 70 came back. Let's read together. The 70 came back triumphant. Master, even the demons dance to your tune. Next verse. I know, Jesus said. All right. I saw Satan fall, a bolt of lightning out of the sky. By the way, Jesus dethroned Satan from the second heavens. For the period of time when he was operating, that place was free. So that's what he's talking about. He said, I know, I saw Satan fall as a bolt of light from out of the sky. Next verse. See what I've given you. Safe passage. That safe passage is in the heavens. Open heavens. Safe passage up and down. Okay? Safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. Next verse. All the same, let's read together. All the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. So it's not, we don't rejoice in our victory over the devil. We rejoice in the fact that we are submitted to God and we are carrying his presence. It's a reset. You reset. That's what you glory in your humility. You glory in your being able to walk in the presence of God without coming out, without straying out of the presence. Amen. Not what you do for God. Oh, I did this for God. Didn't we fast? Didn't we pray? We cast out demons in your name. We did that in your name. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. Hallelujah. Now that's the word of God. Message. I jumped out of my chair when I saw that. That's the agenda for rejoicing. That's what we triumph in. That's what we boast in. That's what we rejoice in. The fact, not that the external things, because what is giving the external things is the internal thing. It is the submission to God. Amen. And the obedience to God that is creating the external. So you don't rejoice in the external, rejoice in the internal. That's what Jesus was saying. Amen. And that's the same thing we are going to have to do. What does God do for us? He said we should rejoice in what God does for us. What does God do for you? He conforms us to the image of Christ and keeps us conformed. His power keeps us in that stage. Otherwise, you can't maintain it. He has to help you and me maintain it. Amen. All right. Look at Romans 8:29-30. Again, give it to me in the Message Bible. Are you with me? Amen. All right. Message Bible, Romans 8:29-30. Thank you, brethren. Amen. Thank you. Let's read together. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. Jesus is the pattern. We are being shaped according to those lines. The Son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. So what you see in the Son is a shorty. God has to replicate it because the Son is the first in the line. All right? We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. He's the original. Amen? And we see the intended shape. So we see the prototype. That's the better word. And then he makes everything else according to that pattern. So the humility must be the same. The wisdom is the same. The patience is the same. When the Pharisees provoked him, the Bible says they kept provoking him, hoping that he would say something, but the Bible says he held his peace. That restraint is the same. This is the prototype. Next verse. after God made that decision of what his children should be like, if you're not like this, then it's strange. We will not be strange children in Jesus' name. All right, this word is, but he followed it up by calling people by name. He set the prototype. Then he started calling people's name. He called people's name. You can put your name there. Amen. Yes, so he called Kunle. He called Larry. He called Pastor Luby. He called Mommy. He called Pastor. Do you understand? He called you. Some people have not answered. But some people have. But when you answer, you don't have the right to stay the way you are. You are going to have to conform to the original prototype. This is the key, okay? After he called them, but he set them on a solid basis with himself. That's right standing, righteousness, okay? He justified them. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end. God's going to stay with you to the end. Gloriously completing what he had begun. This is what God is doing. It's clear. Also, this is what God is doing, okay? And what is God completing? Colossians 1:28. All right? Let's give it that. Give that to me in the NIV. Colossians 1:28. We know the scriptures, but again, just to enhance and bring out the light and the truth in it. Colossians 1:28, NIV. Thank you. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. This is the prototype. Okay, and this is the message. Now, when we allow God to take it to the glorious end, we will have the distinct privilege to demonstrate the power of the Spirit of God without measure. So we're talking about different types of miracles. Physical miracles, let's say together, physical miracles, intellectual miracles, economic miracles, political miracles. So those four. Now, Jesus did the physical miracles. We see some of the other miracles in lives of others, okay? But Jesus, mainly because he was keeping, give God the clap offering. Jesus kept some things up, just waiting for my sons. You know, the desire of every father is for his children to be greater than him. So he deliberately kept himself to the physical one so that you can do something that is greater. And that's his pleasure. Ah, God is good. So selfless. Amen. That's part of the reset. Selflessness. Outward. Not inward. Amen. Alright. So we see physical miracles like Jesus did. The feeding of the 5,000. We know that physical feeding of 4,000 of Paul and Peter. The Bible says that in Acts 19. We're not going to turn there because of time. Acts 19, 11 to 12. The Bible says God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul. They took handkerchiefs from his body to go and put on that, and they were healed. But Peter's own was even wireless, like Pastor preached the other day. Peter's own was wireless. You know, this mic doesn't have a wire. How is it picking signals? It's wireless. Wireless. So Peter's own was even his shadow. Just if the shadow just falls on you, the power flows. So it tells you that God has this technology as far back, way back. We are now talking about wireless, cordless, and we are doing as if we know something new. Relax, relax. God has been there a long time. Give God a clap offering. Amen. Long time, before you ever dreamt about it. And there are many more secrets he has hidden. Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. Not just love him to the very end. So we must love him to the end. Amen. Say, I will love him to the end. Amen. All right, that's what he wants. So that's physical miracles. Intellectual miracles like God did in Adam. Genesis 2:20, we know Adam named all the animals. Phylum, strata. He did the family. You have the vertebrate. You have the invertebrate. And you break that down. And you have each one has their name. You know, all the animals. From the praying mantis to the elephant. One man. That's it. And that is the first Adam. Not even talking about the second Adam. The intellectual capacity. Bible says the mind of Christ. If we see a flash, when he asked Peter, of whom do men receive tax? Is it of children or of outside? It's of strangers. Oh,
okay, we shouldn't pay, but you know, so that we don't offend them, just go to the river, catch a fish, and you find the coins, and that coin will pay for you and me. Just a little bit. How did he know that? As soon as he said that, every fish was looking for a coin so that they could fulfill that scripture. That's what pastor preached. Everything was looking. The Bible says the whole creation begins to work for you. It begins to work for you. Because you know your desire. The Bible says all things are yours. And you are Christ. And Christ is God. So the more you are Christ, the more all things work for you. But if you are working for yourself, then the less those things work for you. So we all need to reset. And keep our focus on being like Christ and following him. Amen. So we see that intellectual one. All right. Then the economic miracles, like Joseph. I know Joseph gave the wisdom and Pharaoh and his God. Look at that. Genesis 41. So where shall we find such a man? No, who could do it for us? It's a prototype. People are going to come and meet you where you are sitting down, praying, walking with God. Obeying God and tell you, we need you to come and be on our board. And when they put you on the board, something changes. It is because there is covering. Amen. That plan could only work if it was sustained by spiritual power. So the only person who was capable of doing it was Joseph. So in this day, we're going to a day when it's going to be power. It's either you have it or you don't. And when you have it, it's clear. This person has it. Amen. So it's worth waiting for, but it's worth striving for. It's worth waiting for to inherit. Amen. When I say wait, I mean wait actively. Okay? All right. And then, of course, we see political miracles like Daniel did. This one, I want us to look at it because it's the prototype of a principle. Daniel 2, 34 to 35. Daniel 2, 34 to 35. Daniel chapter 2. Right. This is Daniel interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Okay? And he said, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands. So it's not a human thing. It's divine. Which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Next verse. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image did what? Became a great mountain and did what? Filled the whole earth. Jump to verse 44. See the interpretation. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up what? A kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It's an eternal kingdom. It's a divine kingdom. All right? And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Political miracles is the principle of political miracles. You break, rule, and disciple. And the kingdom of this world now become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Thank you, sir. You got it. Amen. Now, why is God doing all these things? Taking us to that very end, making us, you know, carry the glory, doing all these miracles. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. It's very important to understand why. So that we can keep our minds and our hearts focused on this. The aim is to cause the desire of the nations to turn to God through Zion. Let's read it together. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Next verse. And I will shake all nations, all the shakeables. Amen. Amen. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Next verse. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember this. Next verse. The glory of this latter house is the same kingdom was talking about, shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Peace will emanate from Zion to the rest of the earth. We will be the custodians of peace on the earth. We will manufacture peace and dispense it. That will be our job through prayer. We manufacture peace and then we dispense it. But so people come and recognize that anywhere where we are, there is peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It's a spiritual force. The fruit of the Spirit are just spiritual forces coming from the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we see that this is the reason why. So that the desire of all, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God through Zion. It's about God through fulfilling his word, that there will be a kingdom that will become great like a mountain and shall be forever. Those words must be fulfilled. And it's our desire and job and passion and life ambition to see to it that those things come to pass. Lo, it is written of me in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will. Thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. This is the key. Now, why is God doing this? We've seen that we are the change. Okay, we've seen the example of people being the spiritual change in their land. Okay, and many times in the Bible, Joseph was a physical change in the land. Joseph was the instrument God used. So we are the change. Amen. Why is it? Look at Proverbs 25 verse 2. Proverbs, thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 25 verse 2. Let's read it together. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search it out. Wow. King James is the best here. It's to search it out. You know, God delights in concealing simple and profound solutions in apparently complex problems. Bible says, verily thou art the God that hideth. So he's hidden. It is glory. He enjoys it because, you know, that's his wisdom. That is his wisdom right there. So that's how you can tell the people that have God's wisdom. Because he had to have given it to them to unlock or unravel what he locked. You know, you lock with a key now, the key of David. It opens and it's God that gives it. You didn't get there because of your intelligence. The race is not the swift. The battle is not the strong. You know, it's not the prudent are not wise. There is a difference between intelligence and wisdom. Somebody sent that to us recently. A big difference between intelligence and wisdom. Wisdom is God personified. And intelligence is man trying to be like God. All right? So we see that this is glory. So God has concealed so many things in creation. Right in plain sight. He's looking at you and yet you can't see it. Except God does what? Opens your eyes. Now what he wants us to do is that he wants us to be alert and sensitive so that our eyes can easily be opened by the Holy Spirit. So we can see the solution in apparent mundane things. You can see something that is hidden. Can easily, it will not be hidden to you. You'll be looking at him and say, I see you. Oh, Jesus. Shaka take soko leveberia. Oh, I have the answer. When the king asked them to tell him his dream, Daniel and the boys, to tell him his dream and interpretation. The people said it's not possible. We've been on this. My grandfather was a seer. He's in our generation. Nobody can tell you. You have to tell us your dream. Then we can tell you the interpretation. God said, you are lying. You are trying to buy time. I'm going to kill all of them. And they will all have died. The Bible says, when was it revealed to Daniel? In the night. All night. When they were praying. It's that mercy. And God gave him the key. His wisdom. So when he came and said, this is your dream. This is your... He had to bow. And only God can do that. So they set him apart. But even though they had precedence, he was the first of the three. We're not on the same level. By the grace of God. The treasure is an earthen vessel. Yet the excellence of it is of God. That's why he said that I don't have the wisdom because of something that I did. He told them, I don't have any wisdom because of it, but because there is a God in heaven. So the attention is not on Daniel. They put the attention on Daniel, but Daniel put the attention on God. That's how to enjoy the glory. You have to learn to put the attention on him who is worthy. Amen? All right. So we see that. Right. But look at God's desire. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, let's read it. Matthew 11, 25. Let's read it. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Because that was what? He did things from the wise and prudent. And has revealed them unto babes. So the key is humility. Amen. It's not for the much wisdom that you have. Verse 26. The next verse. Next verse. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. So if you are a spiritual babe, God wants to reveal the secret to you. Talk less of little child. Talk less of young man. Talk less of father. From the very least, God wants to make you a wonder. That saying that the scripture says that the children of this world are wiser in their generation and the children of light is going to be converted to the correct way it's supposed to be. That the children of this world will not see your taillights. Amen. By the mercy and the grace of God, when the glory is operating in his fullness. Amen. So it's all right. And we see a bit of a prototype of this in Israel. Israel, a nation, as we well know, 1948, all right, May 14th to be precise, 1948, they gained their independence. They're just 70 years old. Yet today, Israel, you know, pastors told us three things that we should look at anytime your faith is, isn't it? Look at your body, look at Israel. Okay, so he's talking about Israel. In 70 years, Israel is a military powerhouse. More than Israel, the nation of Israel in the Middle East. They are a military powerhouse. Courtesy of their own and their friend zone, America. They are big brother. They are a military powerhouse. They are an agricultural powerhouse. They are a technological powerhouse. They are a scientific powerhouse. In 70 years, they are standing more or less shoulder to shoulder. I mean, some areas there's a difference, but in many of the major areas, talking about intelligence and their security, they are top and key. The Mossad and the Shin Bet. You don't mess with those boys. They're different. And everybody knows Israel. If you do one, you will get good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, so nobody try. They don't try. No, no, they try America, Israel. Forget it. They will not. They no quarters asked, no quarters given. They're not begging anybody. We are here to stay. So you can even in agriculture. You know, of course, they irrigated a very dry land. But even today, now, do you know that Israel has precision agriculture? They have drones. No drone that they power with that will fly. Drones, they use drones to deliver water to specific plants. Each of those plants has been tagged by technology. So they can identify that plant 62, second row. That plant is not doing well. They send a drone to give water to just that plant. Give God a clap offering. It's not them, it's the blessing of their fathers. He's telling you what covering can do. And that is the old covenant. That's the old covenant. So you can imagine what the kind of wisdom I'm trying to stretch our mind. I mean, to have a picture of what God can do through you and I. Amen. Once we yield ourselves to him. Amen. All right. So we see this. And the important principle that I want to bring out here is one that pastor often emphasizes and goes over. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. Let's read. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what?
clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
God has allowed things around us to be made so that you can have an idea of how invisible things are. So as you are looking at the things that are made, you should remember that Moses built according to the pattern that was shown him in the mount. The pattern was an invisible pattern. But what we saw of the tabernacle that he made was a visible replica of the invisible. So that by seeing the visible, we can imagine the invisible. So that way you can, as it were, bring invisible realities down to earth. And God has done that deliberately. So for example, look at crude oil. From crude oil, we get PMS, premium motor spirit, as petrol. From that, we get kerosene. From that, we get diesel. Now, understanding that, everybody understands that. For our diesel, it smells different, but it's the same parent substance. You want to buy kerosene, it's different. Kerosene is different from diesel. You don't put diesel in your stove. It doesn't work. Neither do you put kerosene into your generator. Does it work? No. Now, the same way eternal life is a substance. Of that substance, eternal life, there is wisdom, the light of life, John 8:12. Of that eternal life, there is power, Ephesians chapter 1, I beg your pardon, the exceeding greatest power. So you understand. So you can understand spiritual realities by looking at the physical correlates. So God deliberately, you have to start putting, like Pastor says, you put your thinking cap on. So you start thinking in that God's going to help us in Jesus' name. So we start thinking and we start tapping into that. Of course, we are preparing ourselves. Amen. Because we're going to grow into this thing. But, you know, God is not spooky. When I say God is not spooky, God does things in a natural way. He doesn't just break natural laws. He uses natural laws. So many times, some things are staring at us in the face that we can glean principles from that will unlock some secrets for his own children. So we must be ahead as far as looking out for those things, being sensitive, being perceptive. Amen? Another example that God showed me was that electromagnetic waves, for example, the waves on our mobile phones and anything, you can send a text to somebody here right now without making a sound. True or false? The person will receive the message. True or false? True. Right? So those waves are there, yet they influence and affect matter. The waves that are affecting this microphone that you can hear me, you cannot see them. And yet they're functioning. Now, the same way that it happens, God's power is real, and that power is invisible, and it is influencing and affecting matter. It is changing sickness into health. It's altering circumstances according to the will of God. But you have to see it in your mind's eye. Amen? Because the visible is giving us a picture of the invisible. Alright? So that's why the Bible says, look at Hebrews 1:3. So when you look at Hebrews 1:3, you then understand that, wow, okay, so this is what God is doing. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged us and sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. What am I beginning there? Upholding all things by the word of his power. So all things are being sustained. So you now understand why you need to confess and why you need to pray, because you also need to uphold different areas of your life by the word of his power through your mouth. It's just principles. And if you want to change something, send power to it.
Amen. According to the will of God. Can't do it by, but according to the will of God. Amen. All right. Now, let's look at an example. Pastor shared this with us, one of the lovely daily remas we had, I think, a week plus ago. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 11. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 11. Matthew 8, 5 to 11. Okay, let's read it together. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, doing what? Beseeching him. Next verse. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 7. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Next verse. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. How did he do that? Look at the next verse. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to this servant, do this, and he doeth it. Next verse. When Jesus heard it, he did what? Marveled. And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. A centurion outside Israel, unbeliever, was tapping into faith and reality, and the children of Israel didn't have that. This is not supposed to be the portion. This is what God is talking about that we're going to change. No, all right? And pastor in his explanation. Okay, let's read that. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So it's not reserved for you alone. There are others that are coming from outside. And the first will not be last in Jesus' name. So the idea is that use your advantage properly. If you heard first and you believe first, then activate your faith and let your faith grow quicker. Amen. Don't let it be dormant. Why did the Bible call it great faith? Pastor explained it carefully. Why? Because he had an understanding of spiritual realities from natural things. Simple. It looks so simple, but you know, it's just openness of the heart. He allowed the natural thing that I tell people, this man, the way he's doing, he says something, it comes to pass. He says something, it comes to pass. There must be power behind him, and that power cannot be there except there's authority. So if he has authority and power, then he doesn't really need to come to my house, because I don't need to go to where my servants are. I just tell them to do it, and it's done. So if you, he just extrapolated A plus, the next one is B, next one is C, and he got to Z. And just said, wow, great faith. So that's what God is saying. We are going to be looking at things and thinking spiritually. It's not praying in one place. Your praying influences your mind and our thinking. Amen. And we bring that into how we think. We bring that into the problems that we face. Amen. That's the will of God. Don't let us be like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Don't be thinking naturally. This means that you must pump the life of God into your mind. Then, on top of that, actively start thinking spiritually. Start looking for the principle. Start asking yourself, there is a door. There is a door here. There is a door. There is a God that reveals secrets. Lord, open our eyes. Do you understand? When you are praying, it's not, you know, we pray and we think. We pray and we think. Our thinking is so important. It's not just praying and making a sound. It is making sure your mind is active. This is the key. Amen? All right. Look at Romans 8:6. Romans 8:6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So it's a function of the inclination of our mind. Give it out to me in the Message Bible. Message Bible.
obsession with self.
But then you didn't read it with me.
Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. We have to get rid of self, self, me. No, there's an obsession, me, self, me first. How does it affect me? No, you know, that's obsession with self. It's a dead end. Attention to God leads us out where? Into the open, into a spacious, free life. There is space, free in your mind. There are bytes, gigabytes, and terabytes that we are not using in our mind. Amen. It's free and spacious. It's locked by that obsession to self. And the more we open it up, the more life begins to flow. Life is there, but you have to open the gate and let the floodgates be open, and then it will flood it. Amen. Deliberately, as an act of your will. Amen. We must take our eyes off ourselves and look to God and start looking for God's in the situation and not for me. Amen. Another example that we see is Mark chapter 5. 25 to 30. I'll run through this quickly. Mark 5, 25 to 30. That's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. A certain woman which had an issue of blood, how many years? 12 years. It's the type of the church, government. All right. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather did what? Grew worse. Next verse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Next verse. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This is different between her and everybody else. How did she know that? How did she know that? If I may, but everybody else was touching the clothes. Leave the man of God. You know, we're doing all the physical ceremony, and somebody comes in from behind and touches with faith and gets what you could have gotten, and you're right there and you're not touching. It's your mind. You are touching, but you're not touching. Okay. Next verse. Next verse. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was what? Dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Next verse. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out, not with Jesus' permission, like Pastor has preached so many times, not with Jesus' permission, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Verse 32. Let's jump there. Verse 32, quickly. And he looked around to see her that had done this thing, because he knew that, no, you people don't understand me, Abby. And there's somebody here that understands what I'm saying. And he looked and looked, and the woman had to. All right. And then next verse. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knew what was done, and came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. How she said, if I may. You know, what we tell ourselves in our mind is the key. It's part of it. If you tell yourself that it can be done, it will be possible to you. If you tell yourself that it cannot be done, it will not be possible. She said, if I may but touch his clothes. Other people didn't say that. So it's an openness. And don't tell me God was partial and that he only told her alone. It was available to everybody. We read it that God has hid it from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed it unto babes. So how babyish is your thinking in your mind? How trusting, let me rephrase that, how trusting is your thinking in your mind? This is the key. This is what God is saying. So stop seeing negativity. Stop seeing negativity in situations, in people, and start looking for God. God, why? Why is this like this? God, why is this like this? Not, this is a recurring decimal. It's not a recurring decimal in my life in Jesus' name. It's always happening. It's not a recurring decimal in Jesus' name. Look for the way of escape. God says you will not be allowed to be tempted of what you are able to bear. And start undoing the heavy burdens. Letting the oppressed go free. And breaking every yoke and loosening yourself. The Bible says, O captive daughter of Zion, loose thyself and sit down. It means that it's possible. That's what the woman with the issue of blood practically did. She loosed herself. Now we know God loosed her, but her faith and attitude was key to her being loosed. Amen? All right. So you see what goes. So start challenging the status quo. Start asking God what the way of escape is. All right. Start acknowledging God and start thinking practically. Not this spooky, God has to come down with some angels and do it. Supposing God's going to do it through me, how will it be done? Just assuming God's going to have to do it through me, how will it be done? That's the answer. And as you do that, you probe, you knock on that door. And Bible says, if you knock on the door, it shall be open. But notice that, ask and you shall be given. Seek and you shall find. But the knocking, until you knock, it won't be open. You can't ask and it be opened. That's how we think sometimes. We think that just go from step A and get to step Z. Nope. Ask is prayer. You ask in prayer. You seek by walking with God continuously, watching and praying. And then you knock by obedience. But you have to know which direction to obey. Corresponding obedience. Amen? All right. So how then do we do this? First of all, of course, we must be born again. So you must have God in you. Amen. That life must be in us. Amen. We must be born again and must be under covering of apostolic and prophetic fathers. I can't say that more. But what I want to bring out here is that there are two things that we get from these fathers. Okay? We get from them a word in season. What the Bible calls the fruit of good treasure. Look at Isaiah 2:3. You get, like Pastor D was preaching on Sunday, a word. You know, they give you your meat in due season. The meat that will grow you up spiritually, they give it to you. That's how you recognize them. And you must be under their covering. Otherwise, no one goes. No, notice that all these things happen under covering. You know, for Jesus was under covering. He had been under covering until he came into a place of authority of his own. No, Simeon and Anna had provided covering before he was born for years. So even though they were not there, the power bank was there. You know what a power bank is? You need a power bank for your phone. Even though you don't plug it, does the power bank work? Yes. And you plug it in and your phone continues to work. You see, so all these things, God has had it all along. One manipulation. So he did that. Well, of course, we know the story of Elijah and Elisha. You know, it was there. There's always covering. There's always Joseph was the covering in his own time. You know, so all these people, that principle is key. You can't escape it. All right? But this is the key. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go where? Up. We're not coming down to the hill. We're going up to the mountain. Their word is come up. Come up to the mountain. Amen? So let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's the word that builds you up and gives you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Okay? And then the other one is that they teach us to pray. There is a way to pray to get results. Jesus taught disciples, he taught them to pray. And you must raise up an altar of whole stones that iron has not come upon. Let's talk about Deuteronomy 27:5-8. Just very quickly. Those two things they give you. A prayer life. The real purpose. So that you too can go up and down. Undercover. You can have free passage. Amen. Up and down. Amen. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 27:5-8. Quickly. As we begin to round up. And there shall thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God. An altar of whole stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. I can't go into this in detail, but it's talking about divine revelation of how to pray. That is not adulterated with man's philosophy or man's idea. So that's what means that altar of whole stones. Next verse. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And look at the next verse. And thou shalt offer burnt offering thereon unto the Lord thy God. Without this altar of whole stones, your prayer cannot sanctify you. The burnt offering is offering that where the sin
no, as it were, has been burnt up by the power of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, if that altar is not a whole source, it's telling you that you cannot offer burnt offerings on it. It won't burn it. Now tells you why a lot of the prayer that we pray, we were saying the other day,
people are talking about you, it's the pastor, the elder, it's the deacon, and yet look at the corruption that's going on in the land.
No, so because the altar needs to be repaired, and is now being repaired.
Amen. All right. Okay. So we see that they give us those two. Next, number two, watch and pray frequently and fervently. Those two things are there. The fervency and the frequency. At least four times a day. 2 Samuel 6:13. We're not going to look there. Mark 13:35. And then at once every 6 hours, and at every opportunity, in every temptation. I must confess, I'm learning to grow into that. Sometimes during temptation, I'll keep quiet because I prayed before the temptation. But you know, you can pray in your mind. You can pray in your mind during the temptation. Why are you keeping quiet? You should be emitting light, emitting redeemed.
Should be emitting light, power, wisdom, strength. Even though you're not saying anything.
Yes. But you scatter away the evil. That's the king. You know, but the principle is the same. In that you can deal with stuff. All this stuff is spiritual. It's not physical. Somebody is talking to you. There is a spiritual force behind what they are saying.
I'm not saying they went to Babalawo. No. We're talking about just natural things. Now, death and life and the power of the tongue.
Doesn't have to go anywhere to get that. That's just normal, basic stuff. So yeah, anything he's saying, if he's saying it and it's coming at you, why are you staying back just looking and say, I could have my shield? Beef up the shield. Increase it. Be on the...
So I had to repent. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes, sir. I will. You know, because that's how you have to be. Constantly alert.
Okay? All right. So that's and the essence is so that we can obey God. Because, you know, the question of obedience to God is a function of quantity of power. Sometimes, you know, you may know to obey, and I don't know how many of us have been there. You know to obey, you want to obey, you have sworn you will obey, but right at the last minute, guess what happened? That's why today's daily rema was mercy to be faithful, so that at that time you, because of watchful binding, you pray in the spirit, and as you are praying, I got a revelation when I read that thing. As you are praying in the spirit, you are binding the devil. You are praying in tongues, but you are binding the devil because the angels are hearkening to the voice of your word.
Pastor called it watchful binding. I said, but Pastor, we didn't bind anything.
We are praying in tongues. It's a language like English and Yoruba, Igbo. It's the same language. You are bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
And when you bind the ones out of the way, then you can receive God's thoughts. And then you can see what God is seeing.
Amen. Right. Next one is of us giving faithfully and bountifully of your free will. Galatians 6:6. Bible says to communicate. Like the widow of Zarephath.
You know, the widow of Zarephath was living in a time of famine. You know, you can check that later. 1 Kings 17. Verse 10 and 13. And she was about to eat the last meal with a little oil for her and her son. Notice that the woman was in the gates. It's the type of the church. And she had a son. It's actually her and her son. I and the children. Amen. But how are they preserved? They were the solution to their own problem. All they needed to do was respond to the prophetic word that came to them. The prophetic word came to them and said, give me some of the cake first. 1 Kings 17:13. All right, so he went. See, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel. And on the way, he added food to it. You know, I can imagine, like, I can imagine the first thing your kind of mind will tell you is that you think you are smart. You first of all, you said water. Now you have added a little bread.
As the man, that's why it's good to be hospitable.
You know, but man just asked that, all we have is only for me and my son. Look at the next word. Verse 13. 13. Thank you. And Elijah said, fear not. Says to yourself, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Next verse. Some people said, Ogbon. This is trust now. Trust, trust, trust. It's not anybody that's telling you, it's a man of God. It's a man of God. Apostolic and prophetic fathers who you have seen the fruits of good treasure. You've seen the altar of your prayer life. So you can tell that this is not they're not milking you for anything. Amen. That's why Pastor was talking about you must give enough. Not just tithe and offering. Bible also talks about giving of your substance. While we're there. All right, just leave that. Okay. Fine. All right. Next verse. Verse 15. We'll just hit that. And she went and did what? According to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house did eat what? Many days. She was her own solution. She was the solution to her own problem. But the key was in her hand. God will ask you, what do you have in your hand? The key was in her hand. She was looking for something from outside, but it was actually her heart on the inside that was the solution to her problem. Her response, what is your inclination to the prophetic word, the apostolic word, the instructions that were given? It is the solution to your problem. It may look disconnected, but believe me, brethren, it's connected. All right. Okay. Fine. And finally, for our nation, Nigeria. Amen. Very quickly. 2 Kings 7:1. 2 Kings 7 verse 1. God has spoken good about our nation in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. All right. We know what God has said. Joel chapter 2. The Bible says that God is removing the northern army. Amen. Let's look at it. Joel 2. Because you need to know what the prophetic word is. Joel 2, 70-20. All right. God is changing Nigeria. It's not based on what you are seeing. It's based on what God is doing. All right. All right. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. You know, Elisha had double portion. Thus said the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. I'm telling you now, brethren, that tomorrow in due course, that Nigeria, Psalm 144 is going to become a reality in Nigeria. Yeah. There will be no complaint in our streets. Yeah. Our nation will be a first fruits nation, fulfilling that scripture. That's the word of the Lord. Now, go to verse 2. 2 Kings verse 2. Don't do this. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven. Where is the window? In your soul. I looked through the window of my soul at a young man. Proverbs chapter 7. Talking about your soul. If the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thy eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. The husbandman that labored to be first partaker. So when pastor, after praying on Tuesday, the pastor says, you'll be first partaker. Don't close your mouth, though. Say the amen. Let it be big and loud. But no, and not see me. Amen. Thank you, children. God bless you. See my children. They already responded to the prophetic word. You must have a heart like this, children. Instant amen. Don't think of it. Just say it first. And then don't, because your carnal mind can take it from you. The carnal mind took it from this man. He took it with all my intelligence, all our knowledge, the economics of it, and the food distribution. And he thought, if God was to open the middle of them, you will not see it. You see it, but you will not eat it. Yes. Verse 3. Now, God used, he didn't come down with an angel. He used people in the land. And there were what? 4 leprous men. How many men? 4 stands for balance. Balance on carrying the ark. Okay? At the entering in of the gate. So they are in spiritual authority. He's using the word leprous to demonstrate the fact to you that these people were not reckoned with. They were outcasts. They were not in the political circle. They were not in the economic circle. But God knew them. They were in the spiritual gate. And so their word carried.
God had people just, and God has his four lepers. It's a four leper company, as you will see. Four leper company. And they said, why sit we here until we die? I can't forget the message Pastor preached years and years ago. If all of us leave Nigeria, here, mommy, I've said it. If all, when their friends were telling them, come and leave Nigeria, go, let's go here, let's go there. Nigeria doesn't encourage, creativity, entrepreneurial thing, da, 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 da. If all of us go and leave Nigeria, what will happen to her? That's what this man did. Why sit we here till we die? Why are we trying to look for a comfort zone? See that obsession with self. See where is a dead end. Thank you, sir. It's a dead end. That's what scripture says. It's a dead end. You know? So you have to be growing up into maturity and be thinking not about yourself, but about the purpose and the will of God. Because if that is fulfilled, in it is your destiny. In it is your fulfillment. Amen. So you have to die to self. Verse 5. Quickly, as a roundup. And they rose up when? In the twilight, fourth watch. Yes, they rose up in the twilight, fourth watch, to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they come to the uttermost camp of part of the camp, behold, there was no man. Ha! How come? Kilo Shele. They took the battle to the gates. They love not their lives unto the death. Ordinarily, the Syrians can cut off their foreheads. Even normal people, you don't let them come near you. Come on, so you know, soldiers can be very tolerant in Jesus' name. You are a leper. You. What are you thinking of? Abel cut off his head. And these guys were brutal. They were soldiers. So he's trying, brethren, we must not love our life unto the death. You take the battle to the gate. You go to the degree that you need to go to fulfill the will of God so you can get the blessing that God has promised. Amen. It's a company thing. Everybody must stand shoulder to shoulder. Next verse, I believe. Verse 6. How come the camp was empty? This is the answer. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. It was Joel's army. He was the spiritual king of Israel, God, who had released his army. If you go to Joel chapter 2, you will see this same description of Joel's army. The Bible says that there are a noise of chariots on the mountains. So God put it together. The soundtrack and the thought. Just based on what the lepers, he needed the lepers. Thank God for the lepers. That their little footsteps, he amplified it like the sound of Joel's army and then gave them the thought. And said that there's an army after you. And they picked race. Trained soldiers. When you hear the sound, that's the sound when we pray in the morning. You, when we rise up and mount up on eagle's wings, and we are going in the realm of spirit, Satan is trembling. That's why he tries to make us sleep. Don't sleep, oh. Stand up. Walk around. We must be part of that army so that you will, when the prophetic word is coming, you'll be hearing it. That's what happened. And they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as well, and fled for their life. Isn't it wisdom to carry your horse? Thank you, sir. Isn't it wisdom to carry your horse? They were so afraid, they left the horse and ran. That is, it tells you that the Bible says, behold the terror of the Lord. It is the terror. May God not put fear in people's hearts. But you know, the Bible says, they shall be afraid of thee. Because of the things that you will accomplish. They will be afraid of thee. But in this spiritual thing, is real. It's real. God is saying it's real. You let the reality sink in. So that you are doing it, you know the reality and the import of what you are doing.
And then let's close. Verse 7 to 8. And when the lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink. If it was you, wouldn't you eat? And carried thence what? Silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Not only is it insurance. What is the Bible saying in Haggai? Habakkuk. The silver is mine. The gold is mine. So, brethren, this four leper company, they have gold and silver hidden. And raiment, durable riches with righteousness. It's hidden. Hidden in wisdom. It's hidden in creativity. And then God begins to unravel it. Treasures of darkness. The hidden riches of secret places is hidden right there. So, brethren, what is God saying? God is saying that Nigeria is a done deal. It's a done deal. Give God. If I start now, give God a God. It's a done deal. We're on the winning side. Amen. But the important thing is that we stay submitted to authority. We make sure that, no, we watch and pray. And we start thinking, start looking for solution. Start thinking positively. Start thinking life. Put self behind. Put God first. And let us fulfill the will of God. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. God has come to encourage us. It's time to reset our thinking. God, help us. Ask Him to help us. Let your heart orientation change. Start thinking God and His purpose. Spending time meditating on God and His purpose. Meditate on other things, but create time to meditate on God and the things of God. And spend time with Him so He can unlock and bring you to a free and spacious place in your mind. And remove those limitations.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
Sing it to Him.
Lord, I give you, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. My Lord, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way. I give you, Lord, I give you my heart. King, I every moment I'm away.
Let's raise up that hand to God, a sign that you need Him to help unlock your mind. We need Him. Hand on our forehead. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent to us today to show us that the excellency of the wisdom, of the power, of the glory is of you. And so our hearts, our eyes, our mind, our desires, our motives should be on you and be directed by you. Father, have mercy on me. Purify my heart, purify my mind, purify my emotions, and turn it away from self unto you. So I will seek more of you. And as I seek more of you, I will not love my life unto the death. And I will arise from my place. As you remove every shackle of fear. And help me by divine love, divine life, divine power, divine wisdom to demonstrate your wisdom and your glory to my generation, to unravel the secrets of ages past that you have prepared for us who love you. Help me, Father, to walk with you with the Holy Spirit under covering of my spiritual fathers to the very end. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Japrakako Belemanta Rapakaka to take a love of take a levegana owa pakatoata ayewame babu babakoa bakata rapakata kaka rapakatanton dea yewama be kao kakakao kao miao rababiao bariao beranamo babao baba barea ramo bababa jene roba bele baro bele rene rene jene la mambe baba rabaka be babe Ayewamea, Ayewamea, Renamia, Renababo Bokaka, Glebebe, Berele, Yababe, Baka, Toa Saye, Romea, Babrakata Toa, O Maria, Reno, Rene, Satabane, Rando, Baba Baba, Rabobo, Berelebe, Rababa Satelea, Rame, Beromia, Rebo, Selebas, Jendabali Kumai. Let's say, Father, say, Father, I receive a reset in my thinking, a reset in my willing, a reset in my emotions, a reset in my desires to fulfill all of your will in this season. In Jesus' name, amen.